Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Blog 30, and today we have five rounds in the magazine. But before we get started, big, big news today. Not just a new podcast for Zero Blog 30 is released, but also a surprise Taylor Swift album. Kate, how excited are you?
I had no idea until you just said it just now.
Have you been under a rock?
Yes, I live online. I live on Twitter, and I saw nothing of this.
Wow. Oh, yeah. You must have everybody in the world muted then, because she's dropping her eighth studio album. She said she recorded it in isolation with Bon Iver. A bunch of other folks are on there, too. Super exciting stuff. That being said, which album, and I didn't prep you guys at all before we started this, so I'll give you a second to think about it. Which album were you most excited for its release? When it came out, you waited months and months and months, or weeks and weeks and weeks, and you finally get your little Dick Skinners on it. You are so happy.
You talk about from Taylor Swift or just in general?
Anybody. Like the most excited for an album you ever were.
I'm going to say In My Car, in the Marine Corps, I had Backstreet Boys and Taylor Swift Fearless CD, and I would drive the guys around because, you know, when you're lower enlisted, only a few people have cars, so everybody piles in it like a clown car. My little green Hyundai Sonata would have like eight Marines in it crammed in, and we had Fearless, Taylor Swift's Fearless CD, and all of us knew every single word. Pretty badass for the Marine Corps.
That is badass. Mm-hmm. Cons?
As it pertains to Taylor Swift, I would say it was probably Reputation.
It doesn't pertain to Taylor Swift.
No. I'm going to give you two answers. I'm going to say Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Taylor Swift, Reputation. And then probably Brian Fallon's most recent album, Local Honey, just because it was two years since his last album.
And, oh, that's your current number one.
Yeah.
Wait. For your entire life, that guy.
Yeah, I misunderstood this question.
Because here's why. Because it wasn't until, I would say, the last decade or so where I would get so into music that I would care about an album coming out. Like I've always
recently got back into music, too.
Just got back into it.
I've always enjoyed music, but the way I follow it now is much different than how I used to follow it. And it, like growing up, I just didn't have an idea of when albums were coming out, and it just seemed like music was just more frequent because it was always on the radio as opposed to now when it's not on the radio. That was a silly thing to say, but you get what I'm going for.
Nope. My answer for it is the Dirty Pop album by NSYNC.
Dirty Pop.
When that thing came out, it was like a rush. Like you said, Kate, when you're riding around with your Marine buddies and memorizing every word, when that came out, it was like a race between my friends to see who can sing them all. Who knows all the NSYNC songs? I was a big NSYNC head. I love that one. Another one that I super look forward to, and I believe it was the first actual CD I ever purchased. It was Cool Whole Harmony by Boyz II Men. Whenever that came out, I was super amped.
Kyle is a bit of a man of mystery to me. And I'm looking at him trying to think what his genre would be. And I want to say country a little bit because of the beard.
Oh, no,
and the constant construction. Wait. He's a Metallica guy. Kyle's a Metallica guy. Am I right?
No, I think he's a more Northwest grunge kind of feel.
Oh.
Like he had a big Pearl Jam phase, I would bet.
Flannel. Big flannel guy. Kyle, what was it? What's your big thing?
You were pretty spot on the Metallica. One of my favorite albums is the S&M album they did with the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra. A delight.
Ooh.
And country, no. I like bluegrass.
Okay. All right. Metallica and bluegrass.
Chaps was good on the grunge. I like that. Nirvana and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But yeah. That's me.
That's it.
You know, I saw Metallica once and I was having myself a time, and great laser beams.
What's that mean, Kate?
On their stage, a lot of good lights. really enjoyed the ambiance. I don't know. Anyways.
Katie Ecstasy is back on the show, and so are the five rounds that we have in the magazine. Round number one, Robin Williams would have turned 69 years old this week.
Nice.
He made six USO tours to Iraq, Afghanistan, and 11 other countries and performed for 90,000 troops. We're going to tell you some of those tales today. They are fantastic. I wish he was still. It's
me
like,
too.
You don't really know what you have. I look down on him, and I feel bad about it, about Patch Adams.
Mm.
Patch Adams was fine.
It was
that
fine.
That was a fine movie.
It was a fine film.
Was it the best? No. But it was fine.
And they walked through the giant legs, the giant, anyway.
Round number two, getting political in uniform is a no-go. Yelling, fuck Trump, in uniform is even worse. One sailor found that out. She was in, where was she?
She was
like at a protest or something?
She was going to her car at, I think, Ventura, California. I think she
we'll
was at the local.
We'll figure it out, yeah. Round number two. Round three, what the ever-loving fuck is going on at Fort Hood? Fort Hood is a disaster area right now. Round number four, one of the more unspoken wounds of our wars in Iraq and Afghanistan is brought to light by a couple speaking out what happens after a service member sustains injuries to their genitals. The good news? You can adapt, improvise, and still come.
Ooh, who wrote that? Wow.
That's a Katie special. Round five, Kate went on a military porn deep dive and found out one for every single branch. And boy, is one of the branches hornier than the rest. We'll give you a hint. They're usually paired with our good friends at the Coast Guard. Mm. And all of that is going to be brought to you by our friends at, and this is perfect, folks, Manscaped. If your dick isn't looking perfectly smooth, not even, it doesn't have to be perfectly smooth. You should have, and back me up here, Cons, your pubes should, right before the end of July, this should be peak Manscaped season. Like, Kyle likes his actual grass to be looking good. This is when the dick hair needs to look like the 17th at Augusta. Would you agree, Cons?
I would agree.
What about your nose hairs? Got to get those things
going.
Buddy,
you got to take care of those. And it's unbelievable. I've mentioned this before. After 30, your nose hairs, your ears hairs, those things grow like weeds. You got to take care of them.
Not just that, but Kate actually complimented me a couple weeks ago and said that I don't have your typical old man toes. A lot of people in her family apparently have the yellow and brown toes that get thicker and thicker. If you want to get rid of some of that, you can do the Shears 2.0 nail kit, which is perfect add-on to their lawnmower 3.0 or the perfect package. The Shears 2.1 is a luxury four-piece nail kit that's featured with tempered stainless steel tools, and it includes slash-tipped tweezers? Wow. Rounded point scissors, fingernail clippers, and a medium grit, not to be confused with a medium high grit sandpaper that's going to file down those thick, thick yellow nails that you have.
Hmm.
There's not going to be an ungroomed penis or toe in sight this summer. If you go to manscaped.com with the promo code zero, you're going to get 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com with the promo code zero. Summer is here. Your dick should be sheer. Let's go to manscaped.com to make sure that it happens. Let's get started with the show. What, Kate? Let's get started with the show.
Beautiful.
Going back to the gym, which is awesome. But also, I've started going back to the gym early in the mornings. I don't know if you can tell. Kyle, I'll just leave it up there.
Yeah,
so you can do whatever
for anyone
you want.
Who can't see, Cons is wearing a very light-colored cutoff. It's a tank
lavender
top,
yeah,
where you can see every
it's a
little muscle
shirt
on him.
Yeah.
He wore it so he could stunt on all of us. Go ahead.
Anyway, I just need to know, do I need to start doing the Jocko watch picks?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Well, then I'll start. Well,
that's settled.
I'll post mine after yours. Yours will be at 4 a.m. Mine will be around 10:45 a.m. That's
okay,
all right.
How are we doing with the Justin back? Are we sleeping yet?
No, not at all. No. So I actually just switched. I feel like, does it make me sound crazy to talk about this? I just switched medications for Ben. So now it always throws you for a loop, man.
It
always
does,
throws you for
time.
A loop.
I'm on a huge loop right now. Big time depressed. My depression does not work at all. It's been great. I've been enjoying that process this last couple of weeks. That's been an enjoyable experience, just wanting to stay in bed all day. That's cool.
Hey, Friday.
Other than that, it's been fine. This week is really, really dragged. It just seems like every day, like, when are we going to actually take a break? My kids are driving me fucking bananas. But I do have a new saw. I got a new saw that came in.
And are you going to talk about the biggest thing you ordered?
It gets here today. the jackhammer. Whoa, jackhammer gets here today.
Time out. We need to take a step back.
Right.
Maybe conduct a safety brief. What are you going to do with a jackhammer?
I'm
going to
break up concrete.
See,
I'm gonna have a little area around my porch. It would probably take me 20 minutes with a sledgehammer.
Right, but here's my point. Like, okay, how many projects over the course of a lifetime are you going to need a jackhammer
for? It does not matter, dude. Like, the whole point of this thing is I hope there's going to be a time, sometime over the next 5 years, where I'm just sitting out on my front porch, just kicking my little skinny legs on the back of my tailgate on my yellow truck, and one of my neighbors comes up like, hey, you mind giving me a hand later? I gotta go down to Lowe's and rent a jackhammer, and then I'm gonna come back and get rid of this old porch. Like, but rent? I got a jackhammer. Like, you want
to
use it?
The concerning part to me is that it's like a regular size one that you see on a construction site. And this, I tweeted this at you, but it reminds me of that video of the above ground pool, and there's a party going on, and the little boy's running around it, and the mom's like, what do you got? And he's like, a knife! And he keeps yeah, running around the pool, yeah, and they're like, wow, no! That's what this reminds me of. That you are the little kid with the knife, but it's an adult with a jackhammer.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. For me.
Don't get me wrong. I would love to operate a jackhammer at least once in my life, so mm-hmm. I'm all in on it for there, but I've actually never priced out a jackhammer. I can't imagine that on the off chance a neighbor comes by in the next 5 years, you can justify what you're spending on this jackhammer.
No, that's where you're completely wrong.
Well, inform me.
To rent a jackhammer from Lowe's or Home Depot, it's like $75 a day to rent it out. And then you got to go up there, come back. This one sent to me $129.
I mean,
All right. Now, I thought they'd be much more expensive.
Same here.
Yeah, I did too. Honestly. Like the and Kyle thought just because of the price, it was going to just be a rotary hammer. This thing's like 60 pounds.
Yeah,
it's a big boy. I don't know how it's that cheap. But all the reviews, there's like 400 reviews, and it was like 4.5 stars. So it's got to be okay.
Can I tell you what would be an excellent viral moment for you? Probably.
What?
You know how online and stuff and in person too, people are always like, "Hey, chaps, dump them out." talking about your chest area.
Yeah, my tits.
You put a camera chest level. Take your shirt off and do the jackhammer.
Oh, do slow-mo?
Slow-mo.
I'm definitely going to have to do
dump
some slow-mo shots.
Dump them out slow-mo with the jackhammer, 110%.
I want to be safe, too, because I don't know how much it's going to be slinging rocks.
Right.
I could do the whole thing with my shirt off.
Right.
Maybe I could get into a sun shirt.
Yes. Okay. Something like that. A real low strung that goes below the nips.
Or I could do it in that same outfit that I did the Pink Whitney figure skating shoot.
Oh, yes, you could. You absolutely skin tight. You absolutely could.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Well that's my weekend, I guess. I thought I wasn't going to come here because my birthday's on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I thought I wasn't going to be here after. I guess I'll spend my birthday jackhammering.
Jacking it. There you go.
Mm-hmm. That's why they call me Dave Portnoy. All right, let's get going with round number one. What do we got, Kate?
Well, first of all, I know when I was in, two times I had to go to, not that I had to go, very nice he was doing it, but Toby Keith was in Afghanistan, and I had to fly up to Kandahar for something, for physical security stuff for a weekend. He happened to be there, and it was one of those voluntold things, like, you all have to go to this Toby Keith concert. Whatever, it was lovely, very nice. I fly back to Leatherneck, and that's where he traveled next to. And then once again, a day later, I got voluntold to go to Toby Keith concert again. And I was like, are you sure I have to go? I just went. And they're like, yes. So I got like two Toby Keith concerts, like 2 days in a row. Anyways,
so you basically went on like a fish tour. But with
fish tour. But yeah, I was like a Toby Keith roadie by accident in Afghanistan.
Kate is actually the only person to conduct a concert tour while deployed.
Yes, exactly.
A USO concert tour. Well done, Kate.
Yeah, I slid into his bags. I went around. But
let's just make sure this story isn't made up, because if you went to two of his concerts, you should be able to at least sing one verse in its entirety. Kate, any Toby Keith song, go ahead and pick it, and let's see how far you can go without messing up the words.
I'll put a boot up your ass. It's the American way. Uncle Sam, it's the things at the top of his sack. When Mother Liberty cuts the ring in your back, and there's gonna be hell when the whole world comes on you. Bam, 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 bam. Brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. Anyways.
Well done, Catherine.
Thank you.
Done.
That's surprising.
Anyway,
yeah,
Robin Williams.
You definitely followed him all around.
Robin Williams. And then I also, smaller name comedians came through when I was at Leatherneck on the second tour. And they, I kind of don't quite remember who, but I know certain comedians.
Good thing you brought it up then.
Yeah, I'm glad I brought it up. But I mean, those are the only two USO like celebrity things that really came through. I know a lot of guys talk about
No Chuck Norris for you?
No Chuck Norris. I know a lot of guys were like, oh, when I was going through Kuwait, like the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders came through or this or that. Did you guys have anything like that?
Must be nice. No, yeah. I had like two comedians came to our outpost and they were there for like 40 minutes and that was the extent of it. And I don't even remember who it was.
And that's it. Yeah.
Yep.
Chaps, you?
Yeah, I mean, when I was deployed, I saw, because I was a dog handler, sometimes we'd have to go do like VIP sweeps or whatever, and they would want to see the dog. So all the USO tours usually would come by the kennels. But the coolest one was Chuck Norris by far.
Really? He's a nice guy.
Because it was basically at the height of the Chuck Norris jokes, too.
Yeah.
So like come in there and be like, oh, Fallujah's fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
What were some of your favorite Chuck Norris sayings?
Chuck Norris's tears cure cancer. Too bad he never cries.
Yeah. I liked Chuck Norris doesn't sleep. He waits.
Oh.
Yeah, I like that too. I don't remember any off the top of my dome, but I do remember my favorite No Fear shirt, which I think is basically the same.
Yeah.
That if you aren't living on the edge, you're taking up too much space.
Ooh,
bingo.
Ouch, wild. Well, anyway, Robin Williams was one of the most prolific USO tour comedians. and Tuesday, July 21st, earlier this week, marked what would have been his 69th birthday. Nice. And as we know, he took his own life in August 2014. Williams was known for many things, including
6 years ago.
Yeah,
that's crazy to think about.
Shit.
Yeah, and by the way, this comes to us from Jared Keller at Task and Purpose. Williams was known for many things, including his frenetic comedy style and his ability to inspire laughter no matter the context. But beyond his legacy as a comedian, his response to U.S. troops in Kuwait who turned their backs on him during a 2007 performance is worth remembering. Have you guys seen this clip? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Bunch of times. It's great.
Williams, then at the height of his career, amid forays into several dramatic roles, was visiting Camp Arifjan. I should know.
Arifjan.
Arifjan. Was visiting Camp Arifjan in Kuwait as part of the USO tour, and many of those troops are heading to Iraq and supporting combat there. In the middle of one of his bits, Williams is interrupted by a trumpet sound, retreat, the signal to U.S. troops that the American flag is coming down at the end of the day. And here's how Paul Soldra described the moment following Williams' death. This is a little something he wrote after Williams passed. At its sound, the custom is to face the music, stand at attention, and salute. In this case, Williams is left on stage watching thousands of soldiers turn away from him, and he has no idea why. And this was in the middle of one of his comedy bits. But in the video that was later released, we see the comedian, brilliant for his improv skills, realize that this moment is a special one. He is not a comedian. He is not a big-name celebrity. He is just some guy on a stage, and that music, that flag coming down, is much more important. And indeed, in the footage of the set, Williams stands still, arms crossed, head bowed, totally silent as the music plays. And then when it ends, he says, I've never had an entire audience go, forget you, and turn around. So he perfectly made a joke out of this moment that he was confused by at first, and the troops absolutely loved it. Let's play a little bit of that clip. And although Williams would have been 69 years old today, his legacy as a comedian is eternal. And for those who saw this moment of deference in Kuwait, his support for America's fighting men and women overseas will stay with them forever. So I was looking up some stuff on it. He did 6 USO tours to Iraq, Afghanistan, and 11 other countries, and performed for over 90,000 troops by the time of his final tour in 2010. He had troops roaring in Baghdad in 2003, shortly after the capture of Saddam Hussein, and some of his jokes there were pretty iconic at the time, too. And this last little thing, I feel like I'm kind of rambling about it, but I've always admired him so much as a comedian. Jim Garamone, a writer for the Pentagon's Internal News Service, wrote of the comedian's caring and compassion for those fighting in the nation's wars. At the end of every performance, be it a combat outpost or forward operating base, he always was the last entertainer to leave. In Iraq, a group of Marines came in from patrol and missed his show. He made it a point to meet with them and give them 20 minutes of fun, even as the chopper's blades were turning on to go to the next show. In Afghanistan, the clamshell at Bagram Airfield was a favorite venue for him, where he performed many times. In 2010, he started the show with, I love what you've done with the place. He was not a prima donna. One time a sandstorm grounded the party in an outpost near Baghdad. Robins, along with everyone else, crammed into a small tin can to spend the night. So he just slept in one of those little Connex boxes, just like everybody else. The next day, his jokes about snoring and gas emissions pretty much convulsed everyone. and other people just talking about, I once asked Robin Williams to offer advice for my son, who would soon turn 18. Follow your heart, he said. The head is sometimes wrong. And I feel like that's something Robin Williams did his whole life. And I just really think, like, he was so genuine. And every troop who probably saw him remembers it so well, especially, like, in Baghdad in 2003, like, those times where things are so heavy, to have somebody come in and take the time to be there and make the troops laugh, I think it really is really important.
Yeah, I mean, the 2007 clip that we played just shows the amount of respect that he has for the military. The fact that he had zero idea what was going on, but had his wits about him to know that, all right, I just got to stop and let this moment happen, and I'll figure it out from there. That's really impressive that he was able to do that, because I don't know that there's many people who would be put on that stage in that situation and react even close to what he did.
Yeah. Pretty good on his feet there. But thinking of
my favorite little tidbit about Robin Williams before we move on, that he used to read like 10 to 12 newspapers every yep. single morning, like from around the world.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Just so he would be smart enough in current events, and that's how you make all the jokes that he does, like on the cuff, is because he knew basically everything that was going on.
I did not know that. Did not know that.
But we pretty much do that by scrolling through Twitter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're pretty much the same. Thing. Yeah, absolutely.
10
yeah.
paper. I bet I read 50 newspapers of Twitter a day.
Yeah, I do read a lot. Do read a lot. But follow yeah. your heart. Good advice.
Good advice from old Robin Williams. Let's move on to round number two. What do we got for that?
Oh, here we go. So another viral video, not great, I'm going to tell you, not great. A Navy petty officer is under investigation by her command after a viral video showed her screaming, "Fuck Trump," at a group of protesters in California while in uniform. She appears in the video yelling at a group gathered in front of the Ventura County Government Center to protest California's statewide mask mandate amid the coronavirus pandemic. "Fuck Trump," the sailor can be heard yelling at the crowd, flipping both middle fingers at the assembled protesters. "Fuck you." Now, I don't hate the idea of doing that about anti-mask people. You can't do it in uniform, though, I gotta tell you. The crowd's response is, shockingly, anything but receptive. "Take the flag off your shoulder," one protester can be heard yelling. "Learn how to act in fucking uniform, you fucking piece of shit," responded another. Here's a little
quote. Oh, that guy, whoever said that, veteran.
Yeah,
big time.
Absolutely.
You don't
veteran.
Sling those cuss words together without no. being a veteran. What was that one again, Kate? Say it again.
What's that? "Learn how to act in fucking uniform, you fucking piece of shit."
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised they didn't go with boot.
Yeah, you fucking boot. Let's play, you know, yet another clip in this round, but let's play a little bit of this.
Shame on you. Don't touch everybody. Get back in your car.
You should be ashamed. You should be ashamed.
You should be ashamed. Come back in your car. Hey, learn how to act in a fucking uniform. He's back in your car.
You should command the officer.
Fuck you.
You should be ashamed.
So in a statement to the Navy Times, she is the service identified the sailor's aviation boatswain's mate, Second Class S.J. Dudry, who was assigned to Naval Base Ventura County, about 15 miles from where the incident took place. They're not quite sure if, I don't know why she's there. Nobody kind of wrote why she was there, if she happened to be there and was walking to her car and was like, "Fuck you, idiots," or like, whatever. You can't do it in uniform. For the love of God, whatever you're doing, the Navy...
And you gotta know that. See, that's the issue with all these different branches of service allowing their people to go out in town just wearing any old thing they want. Cons, I don't know what kind of ship you're running over there, but we need to clean it the fuck up. Can't be wearing camis out in town. If this woman was a Marine, she'd know better, because she was like, you know what? I'm in uniform. Can't get out of my personal vehicle, especially not without a cover on.
Lady, know, no cover.
Of all the things that she said, you can't say fuck the commander-in-chief when you're in uniform.
Yeah.
And you absolutely got to put a cover on your nasty grape.
Yeah, just a whole lot of wrong coming from this clip. And it's interesting that you mentioned, because you mentioned this a few months ago, and you were surprised when I said that I could, in the Army, you can just go about your day in uniform, coming to and from work, if you're going food shopping.
I wasn't surprised. It used to trigger the fuck out of me when I'd go to the movies and see somebody in ACUs.
Well, I don't know. They shouldn't be going to the movies, but I just meant like running errands at the end of your day on your way home, or maybe just getting lunch off post. So. Well,
another part of this, too, she is screaming in the faces of these anti-mask protesters with her mask around her neck. She is not wearing it on her face as she is doing it. Also, even stupider, because maybe she would have got away with it if the video didn't identify her face. But alas, she had it fully exposed, very close to the other non-mask people. And obviously, the Navy is a proponent of free speech, and active duty members are free to participate in protests off-duty time. However, Navy members not authorized to wear military uniforms while engaging in protests or voicing personal opinions. And this is something we run into every few months, I feel like. Whatever you're going to do, don't be a dummy in uniform, for the love of God. Yeah. So there you have it.
I don't really remember, even when we went from President Trump to President Obama, which is obviously shifting from one side of the aisle to the other, I don't remember there being such a discussion in the military. Maybe I was just kind of deaf to it and I didn't hear it, but I just don't remember. Certainly right now the current commander in chief is a little more emotionally charged.
I feel like when I was in.
Induces more emotions. I don't know.
When I was in, I lived in such a bubble that like I didn't even notice politics for some reason. Like it was for a lot of troops it's like the last thing on your mind at all,
which is strange. Directly connected you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like most of us couldn't even tell, like I bet I served with troops who couldn't even tell you who the vice president was at the time. Like people were so like in our own little world.
Meanwhile, you go to most units, they have all the pictures up because they have to know the chain of command, and those people are all part of the chain of command. So it is kind of wild that you probably couldn't get most soldiers, airmen, Marines, whoever, beyond the president. They probably couldn't name the rest of the chain of command.
But yeah, that's a whole thing. And then
kind of opposite, I included this in the round two, but opposite end of the spectrum, thought it was kind of interesting to talk about. Defense Secretary Mark Esper has made the Trump administration aware of concerns about the appropriation of military uniforms by law enforcement agencies. So as these protests are going on, like in Portland, they're seeing a lot of law enforcement in uniforms that make them appear military. And that's obviously an issue because you can't be, it's a fine line of crossing the two there. You don't want, the two are not the same and largely serve different purposes. And a lot of video footage coming out showing law enforcement officials, and especially in Portland, they refused to identify themselves or the agency they worked for wearing the U.S. Army's camouflage uniform as they confronted demonstrators. The confusion has been compounded by other activists, such as members of the Boogaloo movement, who are kind of, I guess they're like alt-righty kind of fellas, who wore pieces of the same uniform or carried with them military-style gear to the same protests throughout the country. So there's a lot of military cosplay going on right now, and it's making it very confusing. Who's an actual law enforcement? Who is just a Boogaloo, like, dress-up boy? Who is this? Boogaloo. Who's that?
Yeah, keep saying Boogaloo.
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 The Boogaloo boy.
But la la la.
I do think it is like a kind of dangerous line when the police start getting super military looking, because I don't know. I just feel like that's doesn't.
Whoever named the Boogaloos, that's you got to clean that up. You can't be taken seriously if you're going to name a new organization. I could see if you were the Boogaloos for like the last 500 years. This is who you are, and there's some. So you can't name something new. That the two double O's.
I'll tell you what.
You don't take anything with two double O's seriously, let alone two. Double O's.
Buddy, you say Boogaloo, and my mind goes to the Jungle Book. I'm talking about the bare necessities.
Well,
so
here's why
I don't get it.
The Boogaloo movement is named for a 1980s breakdancing movie and characterized by members who carry weapons and wear Hawaiian shirts and tactical gear. Looks to exploit unrest in order to start a second civil war. I guess that's the movie. So that's kind of their. Like,
now, this isn't me being a journalist. This is just me being a guy who hasn't researched it a lot. They're white supremacists, right?
Yes, like the Boogaloos. The Boogaloo meme began emerging in both white power and anti-government spaces in the early 2010s. In both these communities, Boogaloo was frequently associated with racist violence and in many cases was an explicit call for race war. This is what I'm sure
we'll get some nice comment about
that. I'm sure we'll get some.
Why not white supremacists?
Yeah, what?
We're like borderline-ish about it.
Another side is characterized as radical libertarian, notably men carrying weapons and wearing Hawaiian shirts. Some have
The idea of being a radical libertarian, that's like an oxymoron. That's the opposite of what libertarians are supposed to be. Libertarians are supposed to be Ron Swanson, who doesn't want the government around at all, not let alone people who are working to get rid of it. You're basically a pacifist if you're a libertarian. Should be.
I mean,
shout out Smedley Butler.
There's two things here. Number one, don't you think some of them think they look silly if they're wearing camo? What are you trying to blend into while you're walking the streets in camouflage?
I don't think anybody's concerned about looking silly in camo. I've walked around the Air Force Base medical unit enough to know that. When I have as a joint service environment, everybody's just out there looking like a ding-dong shoved inside a fucking onion bag.
And then secondly, you make a good point. Police should be very easily identifiable. There's oftentimes where you can see very clearly a dark uniform with bright yellow letters, police. There's a reason that they need to be identified. And you're talking about these environments where it's protests and it can get kind of unruly and confusing, and God forbid something happens to you. You want to be able to easily identify who you can get help from. So these people wearing camo and appearing as if they're in the military is a little bit of a problem.
I mean, you have to do that if you're a prisoner of war.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
at least say your name and last four. You gotta do that.
Let me know. But
I would be super concerned. Sorry, one more thing. I would be super concerned if I asked someone and they just wouldn't identify themselves.
Right.
That's a problem.
If they're dragging you to a minivan.
Unless you're a libertarian.
Yeah, unless you're. And by the way, if you want to watch and become a Boogaloo Boy, the movie is Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo. It's about breakdancing teens battling to save their local community center from corrupt politicians and corporate development. So
again, despite Kate's insistence that people watch this movie, we are not a pro-Boogaloo podcast.
Definitely not.
That's not who we are. Let's move on to a little bit. Oh, wait. I have a question before you do this. Do you guys, and this might seem like a fucked up thing, I feel kind of like a sneaky badass when I get out of my truck and throw on my mask before I go in some way. I always feel like I'm going to be in like a Twitter version or Periscope version of the town.
Okay.
So I feel
like whatever helps you wear it, buddy.
I have these very cool neck masks, you know, they look kind of cute, actually, like little ascots, and then I pull it up over my face. Oh. I feel very cool when I wear that, especially the navy blue one that really brings out my eyes, okay? Mm-hmm. But then the other one that I use is the light, they're easier to toss on, and they're cooler in the summer because they're not around my neck and stuff, is the light blue dorky medical ones. And I feel like such a dork. They make my nose look huge. When I breathe heavy walking up the subway steps, it's like sucked in and out of my mouth. And I have to like pretend like I'm not breathing heavy. It's very stressful.
I have to say something.
Very dorky.
It's not going to end well for me, but I owe it to you three as well as the listeners. I recently ordered masks from J. Crew in various patterns.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I can't say much though. I ordered one from Etsy that has Ric Flair on it. And it says blue coming out of your mouth.
That's acceptable. J. Crew. What is it? Was a little like a little houndstooth pattern on it?
No, one is a pinstripe.
Seersucker mask.
Ooh, cash bill.
One does look seersucker. One's a patterned a check. So, yeah.
You know what's been bothering me? Seeing couples in matching masks, like cutesy matching masks.
Yeah, we can't have that.
I ordered my wife and I had matching Mississippi State ones.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
She's not going to wear it at the same time. She hates the match. I love the sneaky because she gets a lot of Barstool stuff, too. So she'll come out on one, and then I'll sneaky go change, and she won't notice until we get to Costco, and she gets furious about it.
I want to put something on my mask that is so ridiculous that people will be like, "Duh, take that off," but I'll be like, I can't.
What about duty balls?
I could. I was thinking about just a big old cock.
Let's move on to round three. Round three. We're going to head back to Fort Hood, Khan's old stomping ground. Lots of bad shit. I do feel fortunate that our platform has minty tentacles across the DoD landscape, where if something's happening at a base, usually without question, somebody's going to be in our DMs talking to us about it, talking about what's going on. This one is hard to even keep up with because the amount of shitty information coming out of Fort Hood on the daily now, it seems like, it's hard to keep up with, like, all the different names and people saying, can you mention this person, this person? He was in my unit. She was in my unit. And you're like, man.
Yeah, it's tough. And like Kyle said earlier, I don't know if you want to speak on it, Kyle, but like, you're right. This stuff happens at other bases too, but it's definitely more in the limelight right now because of, you know, because of what's happening. But ugh, yeah, it's not great. I'm like, well, let's Kyle talk about it, but I'll just say what he said
you
earlier.
You want to agree with that,
anyways,
Kyle? Yes.
Yeah, Kyle, if you can disagree. Yes,
I endorse that.
Okay, great. So once again, we were talking about several other cases going on down there. Cons, was it known? Because there are certain bases that are known as like, oh man, that's like the Wild West kind of. Someone's at my door.
This has never happened before.
Door. Hold on. Make sure I don't get murdered. Wait.
We're leaving this in if you get killed.
Yeah, this is really going to help your case. Kate's opening the door. She's poking her head around. I don't know. She's still on screen, so she's still alive.
Hello? She doesn't seem alarmed.
No.
But. Oh. Here she's alive.
All right, she's coming back.
I'm not going to buzz them in because someone's been stealing packages.
Right. Smart.
So how about that? Look at me with a little security. Katie.
Smart.
Okay, sorry about that, here we go. Gentlemen. Let's pick
it up. We're leaving it in. Look.
One, two, three.
Sorry.
Kate, you were saying.
I don't remember where we were. I'm
so
sorry.
You're asking me if Fort Hood has always had a reputation of being somewhat of the Wild West in the Army. And no, that's actually not the case. I think this is something that has been developing in the last few years, maybe as recent as the last year. But that was not the case when I was at Fort Hood, and I was last there in 2011.
Well, there's more bad news. U.S. Army officials have identified a soldier found dead less than 20 miles from Fort Hood in Killeen, Texas. Private Mayor Morta, 26, is the third Fort Hood soldier to be found dead in the past month and at least the seventh since the start of 2020, according to previous CNN reporting. On June 30th, investigators discovered human remains later identified as Army Specialist Vanessa Guillen. On July 1st, the soldier suspected in Guillen's disappearance, Specialist Aaron David Robinson, fatally shot himself after confronted by police. Earlier in June, authorities found the body of Private Second Class Gregory Waddell Morales, who went missing last year while driving in Killeen. Morta, originally of Pensacola, Florida, was discovered unresponsive on Friday near Stillhouse Hollow Lake, Fort Hood officials said. Several other junior enlisted Fort Hood soldiers have died near the Army base this year. In March, 20-year-old Specialist Shelby Tyler Jones, who had deployed to Iraq in 2018, died from an apparent gunshot wound in Killeen. That same month, Specialist Christopher Wayne Sawyer, 29, was found unresponsive in his on-post housing and later died. Also in March, 23-year-old Specialist Freddie Beningo de la Cruz was found dead with two other people, and their deaths are being investigated as homicides. In May, PFC Brandon Scott Rosencrantz, 27, was found dead in Harker Heights, Texas, and police are investigating deaths as murder. And, I mean, I know we all, like, Kyle, you and I, again, we were talking about on Pendleton, we remember, like, drunk Marine running across I-5 and getting hit and off base, like, you know, somebody shot at, you know, outside a strip club. This kind of stuff does happen. But am I wrong to say this feels like holy shit?
This has gone beyond now coincidence, in my opinion. When you're talking about seven deaths in one calendar year and we're only halfway through the year, something is going on at Fort Hood. And I had – my buddy just texted me yesterday. He's like, what's going on at Fort Hood? And I honestly don't have the answer. I would say you start at the top. There might be something going on with the command climate that is allowing things like this to happen. And or – I mean, Killeen is always – even when I was there, Killeen was always a tough town. So
I mean,
it is possible that there
that
could be
– base for it, like right outside, is not usually great.
Yeah. That's a great point. But I could speculate 100 different ways what this could be, but it does seem to me that there is something beyond just a lot of coincidence.
Yeah.
Not great. We'll keep an eye on whatever's happening there. And again, like you guys said, we get all sorts of messages that we want to speak on them sometimes, but we don't know what's true, what's not, what's blah, blah, blah. So if you're down there and, you know, hit us up, give us a DM, let us know what's happening. Cause interested to know. I know it's kind of a down around, but it's worth talking about. Because,
yeah. Now that felt like the legit 11 o'clock news. Well, I don't. People who sit and stand up and just wait for the 11 o'clock news. Why would you do that? Why did you want to end your day on such a shitty note? Like, oh, and yeah. The first four segments, this person was murdered. We also had an aggravated robbery. And that, and then in the next segment after the break, we're going to come back with a hamster riding skis.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I would say if you're a leader right now at Fort Hood and you're listening to this, you may need to impose some additional restrictions. I know it's a little bit easier right now with the coronavirus, so I'm sure the soldiers are restricted in ways that they're not typically. But if you're a leader, I would say you need to step up and keep a close eye on your men and women because right now it doesn't seem to be too safe there at Fort Hood.
Yeah, I have a question for you guys. So, like, if all of Fort Hood has to stay, like, all the people who live in the barracks there have to stay in the barracks, all the people that are on Pendleton, if you weighed all of the cum that came out of one of those barracks, whose barracks do you think would have more cum?
Where is
Pendleton,
this?
A Pendleton barracks or a Fort Hood barracks? Like, just straight up weight.
I would take Hood just based on numbers. There's more soldiers at Hood than there are Marines at Pendleton.
What, Kate?
Nothing. Just add something to roll around the old marbles.
I thought Cons was going to say.
I feel like.
I thought he was going to say Fort Hood because it's an artillery base.
Heavier
okay. Rounds.
Round five. I'll, by round five, I'll have an answer for you on that one. We get to the. Get to the news.
Well, I was trying to toss it in today. Because there was a little bit of genitals lost in round number four where...
Holy shit, what? Jess. What the fuck transition is this? Okay, no.
Well, we had to tie it together. That's the old radio trick. How is there going to get round three and round four? We're talking heavy ropes, folks. And I'm not saying like boots and chaps and cowboy hats. I'm talking... okay, so this story came out yesterday. Very interesting. It was getting not just on military Twitter or anything like that. I also was seeing it from people who don't really have a huge connection to the military that I've seen. So it's one of those articles that is kind of transcendent throughout the different interests in life. And this, it makes sense because anytime you talk about somebody losing a dick or losing a testicle or something like that, losing a flap, like you... It puts asses in the seats, and people want to hear about that. That's the reason why John Wayne Bobbitt is still a full-out name on the scene, and not just because of his porn career. Anyway, what is going on in round number four, Catherine?
So on September 7th, 2011, Aaron Causey, an EOD expert with the U.S. Army, responded to a call about a suspicious item while on deployment in Afghanistan. The item, he realized as he approached, was not a bomb. It was a decoy set up so that anyone responding to it would trigger the actual one nearby. When it went off, the IED destroyed his legs and portions of his hands and studded his shoulders with metal shrapnel. It also ripped into his scrotum, leaving him with only two-thirds of one testicle and functionally no ability to produce testosterone. As he recovered, he and Kat Causey, whom he married a year before the injury, realized that the limitations presented by his injury and loss of sex drive from his lack of testosterone would change their sex lives forever. And sex, I mean, this is like a no-brainer comment. It is a very important part of marriage. Like, it is a huge, it is a huge deal.
One of my Marines from here came back from Afghanistan, and they did the operation to, he already lost one leg while he was there and came back and had to lose the other one. Just wasn't able to be salvaged. And I went to the hospital with him whenever he was in, and he came out one day smiling huge. And they were like, I was like, what's going on? And he said, that doctor in there just told me I'm going to be able to get a boner. Everything worked out pretty well because he was super concerned about it. And his wife was there and was super happy. You still have that. This guy, freshly married for a year, going on this deployment, coming back, and everything's different. Terrible.
Yeah, and I think it's something that a lot of us don't – it's an injury that we kind of – I think a lot of us push to the back of our minds because it seems so like nobody – obviously nobody wants that. And according to one study, at least 1,500 Americans involved in wars in the Middle East sustained genital wounds from 2005 to 2017.
That's crazy. That's a very large number.
Yeah, many of these injuries occurred between 2009 and 2011 as America initiated a surge of soldiers deployed to and actively patrolling in Afghanistan. In 2010, almost 13% of war wounds Americans sustained involved their genitals, compared to just 2 to 5% in previous wars. At least a third of these injuries were classified as severe. Some call them this war's signature wound. Genital injuries have lessened among American soldiers in recent years thanks to the development of new forms of groin armor and a drawdown of troop levels in Afghanistan, but they are still incredibly common, if less counted, discussed, and studied among soldiers and civilians in other conflicts where IEDs are used.
I understand like that it's the signature wound. I've never heard of it phrased that way. We always say that the war in Afghanistan and Iraq has really been a punch in the dick, but now it seems like it's a little bit more.
Yeah, it makes
sense.
It
truly is. And every genital injury has the potential to permanently alter how a person has sex. The fear of no longer being able to have sex after an injury, combined with the fear of losing a part or all of the bits, may make a man feel, I mean, you're going to feel pretty lost, probably.
And nobody wants to talk about that. Like, you can say, where did you get hit? I got hit in the dick. Like, nobody wants to talk about that. Super embarrassing.
They feel it defines their gender identity and has led some soldiers to say they would rather die than live without their penis or testicle. It's fucking devastating to, obviously. And like you said, there's social taboos around talking about sex after sustaining a genital wound, as well as the fairly limited amount of medical expertise on the topic, which can pose serious barriers to people's lives. So hormone treatments and therapy can help restore sex drive after testicle loss. Reconstructive surgery, strap-ons, and more recently, the promise of penile transplants can restore the ability to have penis and vagina or penis and anus sex. People who have sustained genital injuries can also explore non-penetrative sex, like stimulation through intact non-phallic erogenous zones, like the prostate, other stuff like that. So there's ways around it. There's ways to talk about it, but it definitely is something like you and your partner have to be super, super open about it. Mm-hmm. And that's where this couple, Aaron and Kat Causey, they went and spoke to a reporter at Vice and were extremely open. It's this back and forth conversation they have with each other, with the reporter, where they talk about what is it like when your spouse comes home or your partner comes home with a genital injury. Because even she was saying, we talked about the possibility that he could die. We never talked about the possibility that he could come home with an injury, let alone one like this, and what that looks like going forward. But they've had a child. They've been together for like 7 or 8 years now or something like that. And it's something that took time, but they're still figuring it out. But, you know, sex drive, certain positions you maybe can't do anymore, all these things to consider after an injury like that. But it's really interesting. It's on Vice, and we'll put the link in the blog for when we put up the episode. But it's a really interesting conversation that they have. And I think it was brave of them to talk about it, because it's not an easy thing.
Yeah,
that's for
being
sure.
Going to combat as like Jeff Bagwell and coming back as Craig Biggio would be tough for a lot.
It's like such a – it has to be such a deep – like, I mean, I can't even imagine what that's like. If anybody out there is open to – yeah.
I got the reference.
In the end, though, they had a pot like adapt, improvise. You'll still come. You can still figure out ways to satisfy your partner and all that stuff. But it's really interesting. Again, I feel like just something that we never really think about and that we don't talk about. So it's on Vice. Again, we'll put the link.
Well, you know what? I think part of the reason we don't talk about it is because, as opposed to if you were to have one of your limbs affected by a blast or some sort of wound in war, a genital injury is covered when you walk out of your house on a daily basis. So there's no need to address it because people aren't going to necessarily they won't know unless you tell them. So I think it is very brave of this couple to kind of help break down that stigma. Just like we try to break down the stigma of talking about mental health, these injuries, evident by the numbers that we just talked about, are obviously very real. So I think it is important to talk about them in a more open forum.
Have you guys ever seen those testicle implants, like the ones that they'll give you? Those are beautiful balls, honest to God. Like, it looks like straight up truck nuts going in. Because
do you think
the weight is heavier, so it makes the skin not as wrinkly.
Yeah, so do you think there's guys out there who had perfectly fine testicles who were like, no, I want the
good absolutely. Ones. Absolutely. That's a big thing. Testicle shaming is huge, and I've never understood it. I think that it should be the other way around, where you're like, oh, this guy's got big balls. To me, that's cumbersome. Like, get him out of here.
I feel like ladies get, like, roasted for not having perfect vaginas. When, like, actually, flaps come in all shapes and sizes, people. I had to break it to you. There's little roast beef curdaloons. There's little tiny shudders, whatever. But guys' balls, you guys all need to shut up about that, because I've heard of people who have seen some balls that are very strange.
They're all strange.
It's just a weird looking thing, no matter who you are.
Some are like two separate ones. Others just look like one.
They get all tight and look like a walnut with hair.
Right, exactly. Like a raisin that, prune. But what's the seam? What's going on with that? Anyway,
that's the stink. That's why I long said that ladies should have had both tits and a penis. So then there's one gender or one sex that has all the floppy bits, like floppy titties.
Oh, and then the other gender is just smooth.
And the more streamlined, like you have men breast and you have a vagina.
Yes, a lot of people.
So you can get through like branches and stuff easily.
Right. Yeah. You know, I've been held up by a lot of branches in my life.
No, you wouldn't be. That's not true. I have been. You have not been.
So balls a bit. Also, they do surgery to smooth out balls.
Make
them, even if they don't put fake balls in there to dangle them harder, they like iron out balls.
Go in there. You can get whatever you want new. Like just make them heavy, big, little, whatever. We should do like testes size, but for like bra size. Like a lady could be a 34B. Get a testicle bra. At the end of the day, you don't feel like you're hauling around a wheelbarrow.
I mean, if you wear briefs, that's kind of basically a testicle bra.
Didn't you guys see the story that I blogged it a few months ago about it's a trend kind of where guys, they hook their balls up to like saline injection.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is to make them as big as they possibly can.
Oh, yeah.
They slowly stretch their balls out with this until it's the size of like a fucking basketball. Like, I'm not even kidding.
You do when you get bored with gauges. Whenever Hot Topic closes because the coronavirus and you can't go in there and hang out with your friends anymore.
Guys to know, hearing you talk about this I feel how Kyle is acting right now with his hands over his face. That's how I feel. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I read this story on it. I think it's called scrotal inflation or saline balls. Mm-hmm. And they do like those like sex parties in Brooklyn. The author, I think it was also Vice, was like, I was walking around the party and there was guys just hooked up to saline getting their balls enormous. And it involves filling and expanding the scrotum, pardon me, not the testicles of saline. The scrotum is capable of stretching to far greater proportions than the testicles, which may burst if subjected to saline infusion.
Wait, is the scrotum the dick?
The scrotum is like...
No, the scrotum is the sack that holds the testicles.
Okay. Yes. Ball bag.
Yes. See, it's basically the ball bag. If you look at photos of it, it's like absolutely insane. I guess we can't really show people, but when I say the enormous, it's like one enormous ball under their penis.
Have you guys seen the Instagram stories of people doing like getting rid of spider veins, like old ladies getting rid of the spider veins? Have you seen that?
Sure. Yes.
Where they just put in saline and they just shoot it into the spider veins and it goes away? Have you seen that?
Yes.
I like that. Let's move on to round number 5.
I know that this is bad for the show right now, but I'm sending the guys in our group chat a photo of this guy who died after he got his saline balls too big.
I'm not going to look.
I read a blog on that guy, I think.
Yeah. Not great. Anyways.
But wasn't his penis, didn't he have to like put a tube sock over it or something? Like when he's wearing shorts?
Well, his genitals abnormally swelled, and then he got fluid accumulating in his lungs because there was so much silicone in his balls. But he was a part of this whole crew.
Oh, yeah. I remember that dick, yeah.
This whole crew's entire thing was just making their balls as big as they possibly could.
It looks like he has a boxing glove shoved inside his tidy whities.
Yeah, pretty much. That was the crew's whole thing, was this crew of dudes, like, their thing was having giant balls. Anyways.
Hell yeah. Speaking of giant balls, porn. We have a little bit of porn goofing for round number 5. I think that everybody knows that you can see any type of porn that you want to in the world. You can make whatever you want to in the world. The troops are no different. They are horny right now, and they know that that's a genre that people like is military porn for whatever reason. So Kate, being the investigative journalist that she is, took it upon herself to make a list of this, and not just because she was just going through it on a random Wednesday night, because this is research that needed to be done for the show, and she stepped up to the plate and said, you know what? I'm going to go through every letter of the alphabet just like it's written on my leg.
Yes. And so actually this, you know, I've always been a very sex positive lady. I'm very open to talk about it, whatever. And like, I've dabbled, I've perused Pornhub perhaps from time to time, but I do love typing in wacky shit. Like when coronavirus started, I immediately was like, there's going to be a whole genre of coronavirus themed porns. And so I started doing a blog for Barstool where every week I would go in and I would find the top five most cringy coronavirus porns. Like, here's one. Big ass stepmom can't go out with coronavirus lockdown, so she fucks. Here's COVID-19 coronavirus part two. Horny slut gets lecture on current state of USA. And it's this guy who, like, he's about to have sex with her, but then he breaks the third wall, looks at the camera, gives this, like, 5-minute long speech about the dangers of coronavirus, and then snaps back to and like, bangs her. It's very, I did watch that one. Anyways, Hot Babe gets caught trying to leave the coronavirus quarantine area. And this, she's, like, running through the desert trying to get out of her coronavirus bubble. And this man in a hazmat suit stops her. And she's like, oh, no, I'll do anything to get out of the coronavirus bubble. And you won't guess what happens next. Anyways, so I always am, like, looking into, I do think it's interesting, like, the sociology of porn and how it reflects the times and, like, how horribly kitschy and, like, I want to say creative, but that's not the word. Some of it is.
So much of it is cliche. It's cliche. It's not creative. It's cliche. It's painfully obvious.
Yes. It's just so, like, so corny, I guess, the word I'm looking for. But also, a few years ago, there was a story. Mercedes Carrera, the porn star, she wanted to do a porno for the veterans, which was every single person who banged in it was going to be a veteran. But also on the back end, all the, no pun intended, all the videographers, editors, everybody involved on the production side would also be a veteran. She wanted to do a 100% veteran porn. And so I reached out to her in the DMs. She's got like a million followers. And I said, hey, do you have anybody to write this for you yet? I'm a veteran. And she said, no. And I was like, I'll write this porno for you. And so we started talking back and forth. I still have the DMs. And then she fell off. I don't know what happened there, but I still have my ideas.
She died, Kate.
Did she?
Yeah. Like,
shut up. No, you wouldn't know.
6 weeks ago.
Yeah, you Kate wouldn't know.
Wrote a blog on it. Yes.
Shut the...
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Okay. I was like, oh my God. I'm never going to be able to write this place.
Bob Dole strikes again.
Anyway.
By the way. If I put a gun to your head and said, do you think Bob Dole is alive, would you have gotten that correct yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah.
Yesterday, yes, because we found out the hard way.
Well, we found out he was, but prior to that tweet, did you know he was still alive?
Yes, because we've recently talked
because
about it.
Because we messed up and said he was dead, and we got yelled
right.
at.
Yes, yeah, that's true. Yes. Okay, yes.
And so he got promoted to colonel recently, too.
He did. Big he bird did. Colonel. A big miss by us on Bob Dole, longtime stoolie.
Anyways, and what's going on with the porn?
So I decided I was doing the coronavirus porn research and I was like, for ZBT, what if I typed in the search bar each branch to see what the top ones are that come up? And so here they are for Marine Corps. And that's all I typed into bloop, Marine Corps. The very first one that pops up, the title is Birthday Veteran Day Blowy. And it is a lady under a desk in what looks an awful lot like an actual military office, a headquarters military office on a basic base. You guys know what I'm talking about? The real shitty, thin, barely carpet. Like, it looks awfully legit. Like, it's in a real military office. And there is a lady under the desk flating a fellow who is wearing very, very real woodland camis. It looks like a very real situation. But the best part, her eyes are covered with a sash that says, the few, the proud, and huge letters on it. Oh. Anyway... Yeah, so that's a thing. Also, the other thing that kept popping up, Camp Lejeune. There's a fellow who has a whole series just whacking it in the showers at Camp Lejeune. And it also, it looks very much like an actual barracks shower, like a shitty barracks shower.
Probably is. Yeah, gotta be.
My thing with that is, can you get in big trouble for that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The dude that was with Heather Brooke got in trouble.
Oh, the SEAL who did a bunch of porns. But he was openly doing that for
He's a Marine.
But once you get out, there's nothing they can do about it, right?
No.
Once
so
you get
I feel
out,
like a smart thing to do, don't Save do us. This if you're listening.
No, do it.
Save them because people are horned up for military stuff.
That's absolutely right, Kate.
Record them all around the base, and then when you get out, post them.
What about somewhere real crazy like the gas chamber?
Put your little mask on and get in there. I bet though it hurt your pee hole a little bit.
Yeah, a little mustard gas in the old tip.
Not great. Navy was by far, as soon as I typed in Navy and hit enter, I wanted to curl up and die. That is the filthiest, McNastiest. It was endless. There was like, Marine Corps only had a few really, that like not too many popped up with it, oddly enough. Navy had an endless like 3,000 pages of, first up was Tour of Booty, Operation Pussy. I don't think, yeah, there was a bunch of these under the Navy banner, a lot of Tour of Booties, and it was a Navy, horny Navy SEALs going on missions to fuck kind of thing. The rest of the Navies were, I couldn't even mention them on here. Even me with my foul mouth, I was like, I can't. Besides real sailor strokes on boat. There was a lot of excellent ratings on that one. And this gentleman also had a whole series and was very much on a Navy ship, just stroking all around the ship. Anyways, Coast Guard, nothing. There was literally not a single video popped up under the banner of Coast Guard. The only thing that popped up with Coast really was West Coast tickle torture. So that was not the thing. Army, I was afraid Navy ended up trumping it. I thought Army was going to be the worst one. There was a ton of Jody type stuff. And my favorite title was There's Head, Then There's Army Strong Head. Second runner up, Party, ... in her vagina, parentheses Army wife. And then the third was Roxy's Wedgie Army, new recruits. And then Seven Nation Army, ... in his ass. Those were the four that really stood out to me as good Army ones.
Forget that the male G-spot's on the prostate.
And then finally, Air Force. I couldn't find much except for a guy going to town on a lady wearing a pair of Air Force Ones. It wasn't necessarily Air Force. He was just naked but with Air Force Ones on. And then this was the only one. This made me sad. The only one that had an airman in it was Airman Come Solo. And it was just 28 seconds long. So that was very sad. Unexpected find, How Sperm Fights Like an Army. It was just a cartoon of a bunch of sperms fighting like an army to get into an egg. And then So Deprived Army Stepson Bangs Christy Love is actually a Marine in Woodlands camis, so I just wanted to point that out. They had the branches wrong. But common themes, Jody's, lonely soldiers far from home, stripper goofing, barracks bangers, and military appreciation. So that's kind of what you can find on the and cons, would you do me the honor of reading We Are the Mighty did best porno titles, some of the best military porn titles out there.
Yes, so there was SEAL Team Dicks, SEAL Team 69. Zero Dark Horny, Inglorious Bastards, The Oak Horse, Sex Act of Valor, Amphibious Assault, Buds. Fast Rope.
Fast Rope is my favorite.
Folks, that's what they call me on a Friday evening. That was a weird round, Kate. Thank you for that.
That was.
It was an investigative report. I bet that was long and boring and weird, but I really,
Kate,
last night.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that one was for you.
It was a me. It was a me thing. I like to see what's
going on. No, this is totally for work. This is totally for work.
I'll tell you what, though. Like, a lot of legit uniforms out there going to fuck town.
All right.
Save rounds out, Bias. We'll start with you, Kyle.
I really thought that round was going to blow everybody's dicks off in it.
No, round three did.
Yeah.
Kyle. Hey, Dave Brown's Kyle.
Okay. I just want to say for the record, I was not consulted on the jackhammer purchase by Chaps. Yes. And I wash my hands of however that turns out, but I am excited from a content point of view.
They should get here today.
Oh boy. Other than that, that's really all I have. So,
you know, a veteran with jackhammer could fit into round five.
Okay, I think we need to move on from that.
Okay.
Cons, what do you got?
Okay, settle in. Number one, Kyle posted a video right before we started recording of this woman who was lighting a car on fire and got blown back. That was ridiculous, but it made me think, because of the advent and how prominent social media is, how many things do you think are around now that soldiers and Marines get in trouble for that we just missed? Like, a lot of things are still the same, will always be the same.
Well, you missed. We experienced. I call this shit.
I guess so.
As junior enlisted folks. Good portion. I mean, I'm very, very glad that a lot of the things that I did weren't captured in the social media age, because that my career probably would have been very, very different.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank God, really.
Right.
Can you imagine?
Blessing in disguise. Absolutely.
Can you imagine like Vietnam era if they had smartphones in the military?
No. Especially considering what they were doing in Vietnam with alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. Anyway, I'm taking a defensive driving course online, and it's really, really ridiculously stupid how easy these questions are. It's basically like if you know how to drive, you can get this test done very well just to help my insurance. Because if you do a defensive driving course, you tell your insurance company, they lower your insurance. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that's what I'm dealing with this week. And then final two things.
Nerd.
Whatever. Final two things. Governor Cuomo said no fans for collegiate sports in New York this year. So I don't know what I'm going to do with my time this fall. And then finally, shout out to Army baseball player Jacob Hurtubais. He signed with the Cincinnati Reds. So congratulations to him.
Wow. Big congrats.
Big congrats.
Cool.
Kate?
Nothing. I feel like a big weirdo in this episode. I feel like I did a lot of talking. None of it great. So it was purely for research purposes. I did not enjoy anything I saw today or last night. And, okay, that's it. Oh, wait. I was wrong. I do have a couple things. I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
New Terminal Lance book is out. Our buddy Max Uriarte just came out with that, so we have to check out his stuff. Also, remember how we were talking about the U.S. Army recruiting online on Twitch with their video games and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, the Army has paused the streaming of video games because recruitment tools, all that stuff, they're using it to recruit. Well, the recruiters were banning viewers who were asking its streamers about U.S. war crimes, and I guess that violates the freedom
First Amendment,
of the First Amendment.
Entity.
Right, so
the whole First Amendment thingy.
The whole thing's on pause now. It's a whole big thing on pause. Also, the Navy had two other small ship fires this week.
Jeez Louise, man. Yeah. Figure that out, Navy.
Figure it out.
You gotta do a Barrett's inspection, see if they have a bunch of hot plates in there. But that's what's causing
it's probably hot. It's probably Yankee Candle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just another case of that happens all the time, but now that the Bonhomme Richard?
Gotta be, yeah.
Yeah, because there's a lot of ships. We have like 300 ships.
Yeah, there's way more ships than I would have thought. I saw a video the other day of a helicopter flying over this base that had like a shit ton of planes. It's like, man, that's a lot of planes.
Mm-hmm.
Sound the retreat.